told that in great comedy, the humor is not necessarily derived from what is actually happening on the stage, but from the realization that those comic events could indeed happen in real life. Die Fledermaus portrays some awfully silly things that people are capable of doing, and the viewer responds to the magnificence of the work's humor because it portrays a truth, a realistic comic truth of human shortcomings. That, according to Burton Fischer in his study, Johann Strauss's Die Fledermaus. Fischer continues, the kernel of the Fledermaus story involves the mistaken arrest of one person for another, and the voluntary later surrender of the person who was really supposed to be imprisoned. But the real humor involves Eisenstein, a person of substantial private means, and his one-night avoidance of jail to attend Prince Orlovsky's party, which results in his presumed infidelity and betrayal of his wife, and the comic complications when all meet in prison the next day. The comic essence of Die Fledermaus springs from the fact that everyone achieves that great fantasy of being someone else for a day, but when true identities are exposed at the police station the morning after, the characters' fantasies surrender to stark reality. Burton Fischer calls it a masterstroke that the librettists developed the character of Rosalinda and wove her into the entire plot, a character which has been called a smashing role, a prima donna with a touch of class, as we're told by Michael Steen. And that's where our guest comes in. She is embracing the role of Rosalinda in a full production of Die Fledermaus that she happens to be producing as well. It's quite a story. Soprano Jennifer Griffith Kogel is Associate Professor of Voice at Marywood University in Scranton. She earned her bachelor's degree in vocal performance from the Oberlin Conservatory, a Master of Music degree from the Peabody Conservatory, and a Doctor of Music in vocal performance from Florida State University. She has performed a wide variety of repertoire in recital, concert, opera, and musical theater throughout the United States, and she is in demand as a lecturer and clinician, offering master classes in the United States and Great Britain. Dr. Kogel has assumed the directorship of the Pennsylvania Lyric Opera, now associated with Marywood, and following a production of Mozart's The Magic Flute last summer, the company is preparing Die Fledermaus, set to open on August 12th. Dr. Kogel paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about the production of Die Fledermaus and her passion for singing.
My father was actually a concert pianist, and he plays by ear. And so he mostly likes blues and jazz. And so ever since I was about 14 months old, I used to sing with him. And he was a philosophy professor, and we would sing at his coffee house. And so I sang my entire life. And then when I got to high school, I started training for more classical and ended up at Oberlin Conservatory and all of that.
In your studies, what were you drawn to particularly? Did you like particular types of opera or art song?
Well, I was drawn mostly to art song. We did a lot of art song at the conservatory, and I had the good fortune of going to Tanglewood Music Center in the summer and working with Margot Garrett at the time when it was only an art song program and not an opera program. So we would have a pianist we'd be paired with, and we would put on different sets of music and be coached by Margot Garrett and a lot of the other fabulous coaches. So I like recital singing an awful lot. It's harder because you can't hide behind a costume and a role, and you have to be a lot of different characters. So it's a little bit different, but I like that challenge.
When you joined the faculty at Marywood, what were your assignments? What kinds of things have you been teaching and developing?
Oh, I teach vocal pedagogy, which is learning not only how the voice and anatomy of the voice works, but how to teach other people, since we have a lot of music education students that need to do that. I teach all of the diction sequence, the German and the Italian and French. I teach mostly one-on-one voice to students, and that's my favorite thing to teach, where I get to build an instrument from the bottom up.
So tell us about this project, which is quite a responsibility to put on a complete opera.
Yes, it is. Well, Marywood hadn't done a full opera, I don't think, unless it was years and years back, but I'm pretty certain they never had done a full opera. And I had worked with a little company called PA Lyric Opera out of East Stroudsburg University, and my good friend Gary Grice was the director, and he'd sung with New York City Opera for a number of years, and he hired me to sing a role in The Merry Widow. I was the widow. And when they left and ESU could no longer house the opera, they were looking for a new home, and then Gary and Wendy moved away. And I thought that it would be a neat idea to use Marywood's facilities and make it a course for the students, and they would do the chorus and some of the technical aspects and be in the orchestra and have community members come together. And then we would get to use the facilities and bring professionals in to do the leads. And we expected maybe 50 people for the Magic Flute last year, and we had over 250 people come to the production, and it was such a huge success. We thought, you know, we need to do this every summer and get the arts into northeastern Pennsylvania.
Daunting task, though.
Huge, huge. And I had never produced an opera before and sung a role in it, so I fear that I will be the weak link at the first rehearsal with my memorization. But no, it's a wonderful thing, and I think that the hardest part is not knowing how to do things and having to have everything's a learning curve.
In choosing what you think would be good for the students, good for the audience, good for the community singers and the professionals, how have you been approaching that decision?
Well, I think the thing that's so wonderful about Fledermaus is it's easy to do in English, and since we don't have the super title capabilities at this point, and since it is fairly new to Marywood, I just thought it would be a more accessible way to do opera. And one of the most wonderful things about the whole experience last year was a couple of my students who I said, you need to be in this, and they said, oh, it's opera, because they're usually in musicals and things. At the end of the experience, said it was one of the best musical experiences of their lives, and they were like, what are we doing next year? And so that's such an exciting and rewarding thing for me, and I got to sing with my students on stage, which is a rare treat.
Had you done Fledermaus in performance before?
I have not done the full Fledermaus myself. But I know that our director, who is from Mansfield University, he does the operas there. Todd Rainey has directed it before, so I knew we'd be in good hands with that. And I love learning new roles, and so I really decided that I had done some scenes playing the role of Adele when I was 20 years younger, and now that I'm getting older, I'm going to challenge myself to Rosalinda, which is a little bit more meaty, and see how that goes. So that should be fun.
There are the considerations. Do you need to cast it? You have to secure the director.
Yes.
You have to think, well, we have to have costumes or some sort of a set. How extensive are you going to be?
Our budget is pretty low, but the folks at Marywood are so wonderful, and one of the women who run the building and the theater is helping us pull props, and we're borrowing costumes from another opera company. I'm going on Sunday to pick up some things, and as long as we dry clean them, we can use them. We actually, one of the comments we got from our production last year was we had a lighting designer, and the lighting was so wonderful, and we had some backdrops and some light props, but there was so much action involved that we really didn't need the bells and whistles. I think the story spoke for itself. And I think that's a message I'd like to give to people, as people say, oh, we can't do this because we don't have the Met-type scenery or, you know, these incredible costumes. You can do a lot with a little, especially if you've got a really wonderful cast, which we do, and people who really love the art form, a great director, a great orchestra, you know, and a lot of these things will come together. And it's just, you know, like making magic. So it's fun.
We're always so limited in our thinking about Fledermaus. Oh, it's got to be done around New Year's. But it's a lovely, frothy piece that is a summer-like piece, actually.
Yes, it is. And I think it's the kind of opera where you can leave and be singing the tunes. And even though some parents may not want to bring their young children, it's really not. The subject matter is just farcical and fun and light, and the characters are funny. And I just think it's a great choice for us at Marywood at this point.
What do you love about your character, Rosalinda?
She's sort of over the top, kind of almost a Carol Burnett type character. I always was playing the Ina roles, the little maids, and sort of the poor people. And now I get to play this sort of outlandish and very larger than life. She's larger than life, and she's, I don't want to use the word hypocritical, but she's doing the same thing she's accusing her husband of doing. And that's kind of a fun idea for me because I've never gotten a chance to play a character like that.
Tell us about the cast and who will be with you.
My friend from Philadelphia, Cliff Bechtel, is going to play Alfred, and he's played several other tenor roles over the years in the same company, Todd Rainey, who sings all around, is from Mansfield, and he's going to play Eisenstein. We have Tom Haney playing Falca. Larry Hickernell is playing Blint. One of my older students is playing Adele, and she's really lovely. She's doing apprenticeship auditions and things like that. And then we have a really talented young student who's going to play the spoken role of Frosch, and he's really excited. And I think that is what's exciting about it, is that all of the people in the cast are professional singers who happen to have other type jobs that may not be singing constantly, but in the summer they can come together and make a production. And I think that that's why I like doing this company, for all the difficulties it presents to me personally sometimes. It gives people in this area an opportunity to sing that really should be heard.
What about assembling an orchestra? Has that been part of your responsibility too?
Assembling the orchestra is hard because I don't know all of the players. Now, I have the good fortune of getting people on the faculty who have volunteered to help. Ed Wargo will be playing flute, and my friend Jeff Speicher will be playing trombone. There's a number of other faculty members and community members that play in various orchestras that are volunteering their time. And then we have students in the orchestra and some community members. And interestingly enough, I got so many emails last summer after we did Magic Flute from the orchestra members saying I'd never been able to play an opera before. This was my first opera, and it was awesome. What are we doing next year? And it's that kind of thing that I feel so passionate about, is giving people the opportunity for a cultural experience that they may not otherwise get. So the orchestra's grown from about, I think we had 15 or 20, it's never a full orchestra, to 35 for this summer. So I'm super excited to have that. Yeah, it's going to be neat.
And who's directing the orchestra?
His name is Martin Knobloch, and he has his own symphony in Philadelphia.
And it's very concentrated then.
And I find that that's the easiest way with people's summer schedules, to just find a couple weeks that you can really do every single night. Maybe I think we take Thursday nights off and weekends, and everybody works together, and some people doing music in one room and staging in on the stage. And it just works, and it's fresh in everybody's mind by the time we perform it. Nobody is burnt out by then. They're still on their toes. So that's the good way to perform.
How many performances will you do, and tell us where we find you and dates and so forth?
Oh, yes. We're going to do two performances, August 12th at 7:30 in the Marywood main stage, and August 14th, which is a Sunday, at 3 o'clock. We take Saturday to rest.
Are you already thinking about next summer?
I try to wait until we're done this summer, but yes, I am. Mostly in terms of looking for opportunities for funding and things like that, because really, in order to make a company work, we need to have enough funds to provide for people. And lots of people are volunteering their time, but I would like to offer them something to be able to do this for us. So I would like to get into a little bit heavier opera, maybe get into some different languages and things, rather than just continuing with English operas. But for now, it's what we're doing.
What do you hope to hear from the audience?
I had some wonderful emails and notes, and even people giving me their own little personal review on Facebook, how much they enjoyed it, and thanking me for bringing, you know, opera to this area. And it's just been a really neat experience, because everybody seemed to be in favor of doing it again. And I think that that's, you know, with as many people as we had, we hope to have that many, if not more. We ran out of programs last year, so that's a good problem to have. I think seeing the joy on the younger generation that are watching their professors that they don't get to see perform, and it brings their level up, and also just giving them that opportunity to open their minds and hearts to a new art form that they're not really used to. They think opera is a bad word. And so for them to actually be part of something and say, this really is cool stuff, you know, and this was an awesome opportunity for me, and to have their parents say, this was my first opera, maybe we will go see New York City Opera, maybe we will buy some recordings, or, it, you know, those kinds of things are really what speak to me, is the educational part of this for students in the community, and the joy that it brings the old professors that don't get to do it so much anymore, and we get to sing together and have a good time too.
Are you encouraged by what's happening in the world of opera at large, in terms of what's being produced in various regional companies, and what you're seeing and hearing in terms of 21st century composers, the art of opera?
I'm encouraged and somewhat discouraged in some senses, because a lot of companies, the bigger ones, are bringing in European singers and not using a lot of our young singers that are so gifted, and then they have to go to Europe you know, there are a lot of young singers that would love to be heard. And so in that way, that's a little disconcerting. But yes, there's a lot of exciting things happening in the opera world. And, you know, some companies that have gone under that are coming back and things of that nature.
And as you spoke, if the music is good, if the cast is good, and if Johann Strauss has done his job and you take it seriously and bring all these forces together, then it should carry us away.
Oh, yeah, they'll love it. It's hard not to love something as fun and frolicky and goofy as Fledermaus.
Soprano Jennifer Griffiths-Kogel, Associate Professor of Voice at Marywood University in Scranton, speaking with us about a production of Die Fledermaus by Johann Strauss the Younger, presented by Pennsylvania Lyric Opera and Marywood University Summer Opera, fully staged with orchestra on the Sett Lavergetta Center Performing Arts stage. Tickets can be purchased at the box office or at the door. The performances Friday, August 12th at 7:30 in the evening, and again Sunday, August 14th at 3 in the afternoon. Die Fledermaus by Johann Strauss the Younger, presented by Pennsylvania Lyric Opera and Marywood University Summer Opera. And it's Friday, August 12th, 7:30 p.m., and Sunday, August 14th at 3 p.m. at Marywood University in Scranton at the Sett Lavergetta Center. For more information on the web, marywood.edu, marywood.edu.